Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. Today on Route 51, we're traveling by Harley as we preview the world premiere debut performance of Milwaukee Vibrator, the motorcycle musical, which happens tomorrow, Friday, at the Center for Civic Engagement Theater on the UW-Marathon County campus. The play is all about Wisconsin's Harley-Davidson culture, set to a rock and roll soundtrack as the patrons of a biker bar fight to keep it open against the schemes of a greedy real estate developer. I'm Glenn Moberg, and our guest today, Steve Sperry, one of the authors of the play. He's a Wisconsin native with ties to the Wausau area. Also producer and UW Marathon County Theater director Sarah Rudolph. And a little bit later in the show, we'll be hearing from one of the cast members, Curtis Aderholt. And as a first on the Route 51 program, this is really interesting today. We'll be featuring three live performance segments from the play, as those rehearsals are going on as we speak in the Center for Civic Engagement Theater down the hall from us at the Wisconsin Public Radio Studios in Wausau. Well, we've got a jam-packed show today, but we've still got room for you. Maybe you've worked with Sarah Rudolph on some of the productions that she staged over the years. Maybe you've just watched them from the audience and enjoyed the hard work, the dedication, and the talent that she and her cast bring to the stage. Maybe you love Wisconsin's Harley-Davidson culture. Maybe you own a bike and you'd like to share your experiences with us. If you'd like to join the conversation, our lines are open right now at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Steve, let's start with you. What led you to collaborate on this script for the Milwaukee Vibrator? What was the genesis of all of this?
Well, hi, Glenn. I'm very glad to be here. I'm sorry my co-writer, Alan Barkas, isn't here. He'll be here for opening night, but many years ago, we were in the music business in Chicago. We did commercials for radio and TV and so on. And at one point, I was writing a song with a friend of mine. There had always been this feeling that business is business, and people had sort of a different morality for business. And so they would say, well, you know, normally I wouldn't do this, but you know, you understand this. Business is business and this, I have to do something. And they'd stay in my finger.
Even when you're screwing somebody, you say no hard feelings,
exactly, nothing personal. That's exactly right. This isn't personal. This is business. So I wrote a song, with another collaborator, Blue Miller. And, it's in the show. It turns out to be in the show, but it basically is that kind of thing that, where the bad guy Upchurch in the show, is constantly trying to take over this property, because he's got a real estate development that he's trying to put together and he has to have that one little nugget. And so we started goofing around with this idea, and another friend said, have you ever thought of doing anything about motorcycles? You know, I mean, Wisconsin is natural for motorcycles. And so it just kind of morphed into this goofy thing that is now Milwaukee Vibrator. And it's a small bar, and they're constantly under siege by this guy Upchurch, and they figure out a way of keeping the bar and keeping it open.
Did you base this bar in the book, The Milwaukee Vibrator, on any particular bar, or is it maybe a collection of memories you have from different
places? It's more
places?
A collection of memories. As a matter of fact, one of the fellows is the brother of a Chicago policeman, and he told me about this police bar. And for some reason, there are a number of bars that are kind of combination of police bars and motorcycle bars and that kind of thing. And so he took me to this place, and it was just a fascinating place. And there are all these characters. It's kind of Cheers meets Harley Davidson kind of deal.
Was this in the Chicago area?
Yes, exactly. And I don't even remember the name of the place now. It probably was called the Milwaukee Vibrator.
What do you find so appealing about the Harley culture that they're led you
just,
to base an entire play
you
on
know,
this?
It is such a wonderful cross-section of people. It's guys from the street. It's lawyers. It's doctors. You know, these Harley-Davidsons are not cheap at all. And in order to get a really nice one, you can spend a ton of money, more than I spent for my house.
Mm-hmm.
And I live in a very modest house. And it's a fascinating culture. I mean, these people are, they love their bike. You know, they can be politically and economically, completely very different, and then all of a sudden they're drawn together by their mutual love of motorcycles. And it's not just Harleys. I mean, the Japanese bikes, the Italian bikes, the German bikes, they're all wonderful.
Have you ever written any plays or scripts similar to
this? Interesting you should ask that. I have written a number of things. I mean, I've done music for a long time. I've done music for some of the music for the TV show Fame when it was on NBC the first couple of seasons. My experience in the theater was that I had been to one once. My friend Alan Barkus, however, has had about seven shows that he has written and that have been produced in Chicago, and they're wonderful shows. He's a very good friend with Joe Mantegna, and that's how I originally met Alan, as a matter of fact. They were doing a show called Eli, and Alan asked me to help with some of the music, and so that's when I met Joe and Alan, and we've just been fast friends.
Has all your musical writing been commercial up to this point?
Yeah, mostly. I mean, commercials, yes. As I said, radio and TV commercials, but also I tend to write more pop kind of stuff.
And you've got a third writer, Blue Miller, who you
mentioned. Blue Miller is a Nashville fellow right now. He was in a group called the Gibson Miller Group, and is a absolutely incredible musician, singer. He sang a bunch of our demos, and so he's a fabulous guy, and he's the guy that I co-wrote the Business is Business and several of the others.
Well, with a name like Blue Miller, he's got to be a Nashville musician.
He is indeed.
Well, Sarah Rudolph, you've staged many, many successful theater productions here at UW-Marathon County, some of them more controversial than others. What made you want to stage this one?
Well, I had a former student, Brooke Sperry, and we kept in touch. Yeah, you know her? Oh, he knows her. I thought you knew her.
There you go.
Yeah, and it so happens that she knows Steve Sperry, as they're related. But it didn't.
How are they related? Father-daughter?
Steve is her uncle.
Okay.
And she and I were talking about doing various kinds of theater, and I mentioned with the new facility that we were excited to do all sorts of different things, and she said, you know, I have an uncle who wrote a musical about Harley Davidson and other motorcycles, and I grew up singing these songs. Can I send you some of the songs, or can I put them in touch with you? And I said, sure. Sounds interesting to me. I'm always looking for new ways to make theater relevant and bring in new groups and illustrate that theater can address all kinds of things. So I got the music, and I got in touch with Steve, and that's all she wrote. And then we started visiting and working on the production and coming up with ideas.
This is a pretty big production in a lot of ways, isn't it? I mean, you've got a lot of musical numbers.
Yes,
you've got
we
acting.
Have a lot of musical numbers.
You've got a big Harley sitting in the middle of the stage.
We do indeed. We do finally have a big Harley sitting in the middle of the stage, which is a thing of beauty. We originally wanted to have a Harley on stage the entire show, and Chris Berg, who's my technical director and the savior of the program.
Our technical director.
And your technical.
Because he is going to be feeding those rehearsal segments
to us. That's right, yeah. He's indispensable. But we went over and over different designs trying to figure out how to keep the hog on stage the whole time, and it didn't work, but we will be bringing it off and on. And Harley of Wausau has been incredibly generous. As is the case with a lot of what we do, even though it starts out as a smaller production, it's grown. We have a live band, and, of course, there are a lot of musical numbers and a very full and very talented cast.
How does it feel staging a world premiere here in downtown Wausau? Have you ever done anything like that before?
Not in a musical, no. I mean, I went to Indiana University where they had a very ambitious playwriting program, so I was in several world premieres, if you will, some of which, you know, opened and closed rapidly. But student work, a lot of them, but some of them were quite good.
And the play, again, it's called Milwaukee Vibrator.
Milwaukee Vibrator, the motorcycle musical. And, of course, when I heard, I didn't know what that meant, as I'm not from Wisconsin, and B, I'd never heard that reference. And I always tell Steve that when he was put in Brooke got us in touch, gave him my email, and it went in my spam box and I couldn't find it. She kept saying, my uncle is sending you something, and it was censored.
Can't imagine why.
Yeah, so at any rate.
So the Milwaukee vibrator refers to a motorcycle.
Exactly.
Correct? Okay,
it
just so there's
refers
no.
Refers to a motorcycle, but.
Just so there's no confusion on the part of our Wisconsin Public Radio listeners.
Well, and I think some people may show up and be wildly disappointed.
So the world premiere.
I mean, not in the show, but that it's not what it might first appear to be.
I know where you're going. Okay. The world premiere is tomorrow, Friday.
Opens tomorrow.
7:30 p.m. at the Center for Civic Engagement. You got another showing.
We have showings again on Saturday night, April 14th. We have a matinee performance on April 15th. Then we have performances next weekend, April 19th, 20th, 21st at 7:30, and April 22nd at 2 p.m.
Where do people go to get tickets?
Well, tickets will be available at the door. However, in order to save $2 and in order to make our lives much easier in the box office, it would be appreciative. We'd appreciate it if you could pick them up at the UWMC business office during regular working hours. And as I said, there is a $2 you saved $2 doing that, so you can go have, a slice of pizza maybe.
There you go. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a short break here, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to hear some live music, a live performance from the Milwaukee Vibrator, because, as we said, the actors, the musicians, they're all right around the corner here at the Center for Civic Engagement in the theater. We're down the hallway in the studios. We've got Sarah Rudolph, who's staging the production, and Steve Sperry, who wrote the musical. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network, and we'll be back with a live performance of the Milwaukee Vibrator right after this.
Support for WPR comes from Rely Local Wausau, working to build the local economy and strengthen the community by making local business everybody's business. Learn more about locally owned and operated businesses at relylocal.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio, and our guest today, Sarah Rudolph. She is the theater director at UW Marathon County, and also playwright Steve Sperry, whose work, the Milwaukee Vibrator, it's actually Milwaukee Vibrator, the motorcycle musical, is going to have its debut performance tomorrow, Friday at 7:30, right here at the UW Marathon County Theater. And we are going to pot up our little channel here from the theater, and we're going to hear a live musical performance. And Sarah, why don't you set this up for us? What are we going to listen to?
This is a duet featuring Curtis Aderholt as Brubaker, Warren Brubaker, and Paula Hall as Charlene Foster. This is the musical's love interest, and they have been separated by her commitment to running this bar, and he is an attorney who's been in California. So the one feature of the plot is the hope that they will be able to get back together. What you'll be hearing them sing is a piece called Who Really Knows About Love.
And this is a live performance from Milwaukee Vibrator on Route 51.
I can't keep from thinking she's just the woman for me. I wanna take her by the hand and tell her I'm the man she needs. But I know how I feel, that my love is real. And every time I say her name, I wonder, does she feel the same? Who really knows about love? Pleasures and pain, sunshine and rain. Tell me who really knows about love. In love with me. Who really knows about love?
I feel so alone, always on my own. Can't you see? I wouldn't be so scared if I knew he really
Just wonderful. A couple of the cast members from
Milwaukee,
the debut play.
That's absolutely right. And I also should mention that accompanying them was Ann Applegate, who has been the musical director. We've worked with one another on several shows, and she's really quite remarkable.
And Sarah, talk about Ann's contribution to the production and some of the other musicians that are involved.
Okay, thanks. Yes, Ann is an instructor at the Wausau Conservatory of Music, as well as an instructor for UWMC. She's a pianist. And initially, we worked together on musicals when she was just doing when she was the accompanist. But in the absence of having a musical, a faculty member, a choral director, she's also taken over that part and does a wonderful job. So Anne is someone with whom this production wouldn't happen, and someone who's been there every step of the way. And as Steve will be able to speak to much more intelligently, there's been some adjustment, of course, because the musical, one of the things that I hope to have happen with the musical is to involve as many people as possible, and also we have several strong women singers, and so Steve was very accommodating and wrote a song for them. So
it looks like you got a rock and roll band set up in there
too. We do indeed have a rock and roll band featuring David Keefe on drums, Tom Neal on guitar, and Dean Peterson on bass. And one of the challenges of staging the play, which also makes it very much fun, is they eventually come out of the pit and play right on stage.
Well, I've listened to all three of those guys, and they're real good, so I'm looking forward to it.
It's a lot of fun.
And we have with us right now Curtis Edelhold. Am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Edelhold, yep.
And Curtis, you were the person playing the role of Brew Baker and singing that beautiful duet that we just listened to. And again, it's a live performance, folks. This is something we've never done on Route 51 before. We're here in the studio, and the cast of Milwaukee Vibrator are in the Center for Civic Engagement Theater, and they are doing live music for us. We're going to hear two more performances, and boy, you sing like an angel, you know? Nice job.
Well, thank you.
Tell us about this role you're playing, Curtis, this character, Brew Baker, who is part of the main love interest in the play.
Well, Brew Baker, he's a lawyer, used to be a part of the bar, kind of the bar folk. He left, went off to California to pursue his lawyer interests, tried to bring his girlfriend along, who's the love interest in the show, but she couldn't go with him, so he went off alone, and basically he has come back as per her request to try to help out.
And he helps save the bar.
Indeed, yep.
This unrequited love interest, it's something, Steve, that it seems you almost have to have in a musical or a play production. It's a theme that runs through so much of literature.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, again, I'm not the theater guy. Alan is, and it just sort of happened naturally. I mean, we wanted Charlene to be this kind of tough, you know, it's a bar that she kind of took over for her father, and her father's gone, and she's just kind of almost stuck there. I mean, it's clearly mm-hmm. a labor of love, but it's also... She has one of the songs that she sings is "Going It Alone," where she thinks, you know, what kind of life is this? What am I doing here? And all this kind of thing. But she's dedicated to not only the bar, but it, you know, the bar is just, you know, a bunch of wood and metal and stuff. And it's the people.
No, it's the people.
It's the people. And it's such an interesting cast. And I got to tell you, I mean, this is my first experience. I've had my commercials sung, and I've heard them on the air, and I've seen my stuff on TV, and that's been a big thrill. But there is nothing like watching live performance of
or hearing it, for that matter. I find it exciting to be involved in this radio show.
And
right
I got to tell you, this facility here is unbelievable. I mean,
isn't it something else?
If Rookie was going to, you know, get to know anybody, I'm glad it's Sarah Rudolph that she got to know, because this is very cool.
Well, at this particular time, about 10 years ago, you wouldn't have been able to say that about the UWMC Theater facility. You probably would have said, oh my, Brooke, don't you know someone that has like a real theater?
It might have been more like the bar, you know.
It might have been. It might have been indeed. And then the theater is, of course, not just about the facility, but one of the things that we're very excited about is that we're able to show off our state-of-the-art acoustical and lighting equipment. And Curtis actually came to us as a lighting person, and I used to tease him particularly about playing Romeo, because he has this great curly hair. And Curtis said, oh, no, I'm a backstage kind of person. And then he put on a concert for charity with his friend, who's a student at Lawrence University, mm-hmm. and quickly we were disabused of the notion that he was not to be on stage. So.
Well, Curtis, how do you feel performing in a facility like this? It's something else, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, this is once in a lifetime opportunity. You never get to come to a brand new theater and like get to test out all of the equipment for the first time.
But what made you think that you could be on stage as a backstage lighting kind of a guy?
Well, really, that all the credit goes to my dad. He's been doing lighting for 20, 25 years. He used to do lights at the pop concert for Wausau West, and since then he's kind of, it's more been a hobby for him. He's bought all of his own moving light equipment, and we have lasers and all sorts of fun stuff, so...
Well, that's a technical stuff. What made you think that you could step out on stage and be a part of this performance?
Oh, this performance. Sarah had something to do with it.
Sarah's a very persuasive person.
Yes, she is very persuasive.
What attracted you to this musical? Why did you want to perform in it?
Well, I mean, rock and roll, great music. I mean, it's all original stuff. Nobody's ever done it before. That's a huge draw. The first opportunity to play some of this stuff for people and get it out there.
Are you a Harley rider?
No.
Do you know anybody who's involved in the culture?
Well, I mean, through the show, kind of.
Same question. What about that culture? What makes it artistically interesting to you to be in a production like this?
Oh, I mean, it's completely different. I mean, my lifestyle doesn't really reflect any of it, but I mean, it's completely different. Well, maybe not completely different, but it's very interesting. I don't know.
And it's pretty authentic, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because, I swear I've run into some of those characters in real biker bars in northern Wisconsin. Mad Dog was one of...
Well, and I think what Curtis was referring to, I did put out a call for auditions to the local Hog group, which is the Harley owners group. And from that call, we did get one person who's very good in the play, Dave Southworth, mm-hmm. and he is a Harley rider. He is a member of that group, and he also sings really well.
He
has a lot of really cool Harley equipment and clothing.
I'll tell you what, we're going to take another short break, and when we come back, we are going to hear the second of three live musical performances from From Milwaukee Vibrator, the motorcycle musical which debuts the world premiere tomorrow, Friday, at the Center for Civic Engagement Theater, UW Marathon County in Wausau. Tickets will be available at the door. And if you'd like to join the conversation, 1-800-780-9742. We'll try to squeeze in a phone call or two. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Support for WPR comes from Northwind Renewable Energy in Stevens Point, partnering with agricultural and commercial industries to invest in central Wisconsin's renewable energy future. More about the benefits of solar for business at northwindre.com.
I'm Glenn Mobrig, and you are listening to Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Special show today, we're previewing the world premiere of Milwaukee Vibrator. The motorcycle musical takes place tomorrow at 7:30 at the Center for Civic Engagement Theater on the UW Marathon County campus. My guest is UW Marathon County Theater Director Sarah Rudolph, also Steve Sperry, the author of the play, and Curtis Aderholt, who is one of the very talented cast members. And we are going to go right now back, right here on our shoe, we're going to go right now back to the theater stage. And Sarah, why don't you tell us what we're going to listen to next?
Well, earlier in the program, Steve made reference to the song he wrote, Business is Business, that reflects the idea that, well, this is business, so just get used to it, and this is nothing personal. And this will be sung by the young man playing Upchurch, and his name is Zachary Wilde.
You've got to comprehend that I mean you no harm. In fact, I hold you in the highest esteem. But I've got responsibilities to investors I serve. I'm sure you understand what I mean. Don't misconstrue my motive. It's noble and it's pure. I've offered you the best that I can do. But cooperate or not, the end is just as sure. The only fiscal casualty is you. Business is business. What's right is sometimes wrong. I've treated you quite fairly all along. Business is business. The battle lines are drawn. And when the smoke has cleared, you will be gone. So let's talk man to man, direct and to the point. You know the issue here is bottom line. And I don't want to rush you, but you know as well as I that time is money and you're out of time. Let me explain the concept of profit and loss while I realize that no one wants to lose. But negotiate or not, you'll soon see what you've got is an offer that you simply can't refuse. Business is business. What's right is sometimes wrong. I've treated you quite fairly all along. Business is business. The battle lines are drawn. And when the smoke has cleared, you will be gone.
Business is business. That's the character Upchurch, who is played by Zachary Wilde. And
who like Curtis is a student at UWMC, and we're very fortunate to have them.
And he is the heavy. He's the bad guy in this play. The guy who wants to close down the biker bar.
He does. He wants to close down the biker bar at all odds, and he's ruthless. But in the end, well, you just come and see it. He gets it back. Karma's a bitch. I mean,
yes, it is.
Karma's a son of a gun, isn't he?
That's a son of a gun.
Well, let's talk about some of the other characters in this. You've got an Oriental character named Fuji, who's ridiculed for riding an imported bike. One of the other characters, Mad Dog, calls his motorcycle a rice burner, which is a derogatory, some would say a racial epithet that's hurled at imported bikes. It's something that I've certainly heard before from my friends who are bikers. And he responds with his own insults. Fuji responds with insults at American-made bikes, their perceived lack of precision, workmanship, and what he calls Harley trash. Now, this tension between Harley riders and those who ride Kawasaki's and Suzuki's, you know, it's in the play. It's very real, Steve Sperry.
Well, I don't know how serious it is. Yes, it's in the play, but it's in the play for fun. I mean, we make fun of the Harley. I mean, that song you mentioned, Harley Bash, is a wonderful song about, you know, just, and it's Fuji is singing because he is very crazy about his Japanese bicycles. I mean, motorcycles.
And he is accepted in the biker bar,
oh, of course,
so it's not
yeah.
too serious.
I mean, you know, it's like in Chicago, you're either a Cubs guy or you're a White Sox guy, but you can still drink together.
Not always.
Okay.
I've been at some games at Comiskey Park where that hasn't been the case.
But it's, you know, it's the way it is. Those rivalries are what makes it fun. You know, it makes you dig in, and, you know, sometimes you think yours is the only way to go, and sometimes not so much.
Well, what do you think of your other cast members, Curtis?
Oh, they are all wonderful. I mean, I've known a couple of them from a couple of other shows, Molly and Tucker, both from Cripple Vinishman, actually. And but they're all, like, really funny, and it's just been a pleasure getting to know them and getting to work with them.
Let's talk about another one of the characters, Mad Dog. Now, that, I mean, there's a stereotype, the Harley outlaw who says he rode with the angels, but who's put in his place by his female companion who addresses him by his real name, Marion Winky.
Yeah,
we pretty much offend everybody as much as we can. But he's, you know, he's one of these guys who is all bluster and, you know, he rode with the angels and he's really a tough, and the funny thing is I have met some of these guys and they are, you know, I mean, sure, there are, I'm sure, some rough and tough guys that, you know, you wouldn't want to talk to, but most of them, first of all, if you show interest in their bikes,
yeah.
You're touching them where they live and where their passion is. And, you know, they're a wonderful bunch of guys.
There's a recurring theme about Harleys, the open road, freedom, and America, which really permeates this. And behind all the gags and all the jokes, there's something very real about the theme underlying
I think that's
Milwaukee
true.
Vibrator.
Yeah, absolutely. It's I mean, that's the whole point of the show is there is this kind of these people are fighting the, you know, the mean old real estate developer, and they're, you know, they're fighting each other, and they're, but it's all in good fun.
You mentioned the annual writers gathering at Sturgis mm-hmm. in South Dakota, which plays a part in the play. Talk about that.
Well, I've never been to Sturgis. I did go to Daytona, which is another annual bike fest kind of thing. But I'm from Lake Geneva, and so fairly close to Milwaukee, and
hey, you've got family members in Wausau.
I do.
Correct?
Yes, my brother lives up here, and my mom lived here until she passed recently. And the reality is these guys that head out to Sturgis. I mean, we talk about it in the play, and it is pretty wild to see. You know, you see this group of, you know, what develops into, it starts out as 20 guys, and then it's 40 guys, and then it's, you know, 100. And
it's the old exponential equation.
It's absolutely amazing.
You've got a million before you know it.
And, exactly.
And the thing about Sturgis is it's the Wild West, right?
That's my understanding.
But it's a day's drive from Chicago, really. You can get there in one day.
Yeah.
You know, I'm from Wyoming, so I've driven between Wisconsin and Wyoming a number of times when I've encountered the Sturgis migration, would you say? And one night we spent at a hotel where they were staying, and it was fascinating. They have this whole ritual in the morning. Of course, we were down for the little, you know, what they call continental breakfast, and visited with a lot of them. A lot of them were teachers. It was all sorts of different kind of people, a lot of women, some of them, some of whom rode with their husbands, some of whom drove, you know, had their own bikes. And it was fascinating.
I've got a couple of brother-in-laws who you know, got on their Harleys and went to Sturgis, and they're professional people.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. These, well,
but they didn't look like it.
Well, as someone points out, Harleys are rather, you can spend a lot of money on a Harley, so, you know, that's going to attract, not everyone could perhaps own one.
What role does the bar owner, Pete, play in all of this? Why, Steve, why don't you just describe his character?
Well, Pete is, in fact, there's a song about Pete, The Last of the Cowboys, that my collaborator, Alan Barkas, wrote, and it's one of my all-time favorite songs. And Pete is this guy, you know, who is still there. He was good buddies with Charlene's dad, Charlie, and they originally started the bar on his place there. And so, yes, he's technically the owner, but he kind of sits off to the side, and he's not as engaged as a lot of the other characters are. But a good-hearted guy, and he, mm-hmm. he actually talks to Charlie a lot. That's Charlie is his buddy, and Charlie went on before, and
he kind of stares off into space.
He does from time to time. And of course that's a wonderful interplay between Upchurch and him. I mean, Upchurch is constantly saying, "There he goes, he's off on the moon again. I can't talk to him."
But and Upchurch is a very here and now person who is exactly. absolutely determined to grab that biker bar and that parcel of land no matter what.
He's got to get it in order to put
and
his real
look at,
estate to
look deal. At look at the people he has to deal with yeah. in order to try to make that transaction happen. Yeah. Why don't we take another break, and when we come back, we are going to have our third and final live musical performance. And again, the rehearsals are going on right now at the Center for Civic Engagement Theater stage. It's right around the corner from our Wisconsin Public Radio studios. And we're here with Sarah Rudolph, the theater director, and Steve Sperry, the author of Milwaukee Vibrator, and Curtis Aderholt, who is one of the cast members. I'm Glenn Moberg, Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. This is a fun show, and we will be back with another live musical performance right after this.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More at umr.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio with UW Marathon County Theater Director Sarah Rudolph, playwright Steve Sperry, and Curtis Aderholt, who is a cast member of Milwaukee Vibrator, which is all set for its world premiere debut, believe it or not, right here in central Wisconsin in Wausau at the Center for Civic Engagement Theater. We're going to go back to the theater stage right now for another live performance segment. And Sarah, why don't you set this one up for us?
Well, right before the break, Steve was talking about the song Cowboy, which is what we're going to hear next, and that will be sung by Mad Dog's wife. Well, the character Janie, who is Mad Dog's wife, who is played by Deborah Rotz. And the backup will be provided by Jeff McDonald as Mad Dog, and Tucker Diedrich as Fuji.
And again, this is another story of
that's
Americana
right.
that, lost
that
and changing.
Pete is kind of in transition. His way of life is fading. He's not quite sure where he belongs and who he is.
The end of the frontier, last of the cowboys.
That's right.
Live performance piece from the Milwaukee Vibrator.
High rises sitting where the old fairgrounds used to stand. The bars on the strip all got ferns in the windows. What's come over this land? A rugged old timer who used to be young sits and he wonders where everything's gone. Tilts his head as he listens for some train that he ought to be on. Where has the time gone? Where is the world that was under this sky? Can't you see he's the last of the cowboys, taking his sweet time saying goodbye?
walks to a field where he worked as a young man, rounding up steers at the first crack of dawn. Now all he sees are rows of white houses, two car garages and patches of lawn. Where has the time gone? Where is the world that was under the sky? Can't you see he's the last of the cowboys, kicking his sweet time, saying goodbye? Where has the time gone? Where is the world that was under the sky? Can't you see he's the last of the cowboys, taking his sweet time, saying goodbye? Maybe down at the coal yard there'll be others just hanging around, but the yard's all grown over now, and the mine's just a hole in the ground. And you and I, when we look at that old man, thinking perhaps that he's lived on too long, deep inside we know in our hearts, when we hear him cry out, he's singing our song. Where has the time gone? Where is the world that was under the sky? Can't you see we're the last of the cowboys, taking our sweet time, saying
to the Cowboys. That is a live performance of a song from Milwaukee Vibrator, the motorcycle musical, which has its world debut tomorrow, Friday, at the Center for Civic Engagement Theater, UW Marathon County in Wausau. Steve Sperry, that's a great song. I could almost hear Willie Nelson singing it.
Well, thank you. I wish I had written it. I mean, that's one of the songs that I really wish I had written. But my dear friend Alan Barkas wrote that one. And by the way, I just want to give a shout out to Ann Applegate. She's amazing. She's the keyboardist that we've been listening to. And I had a wonderful opportunity. Every once in a while, I need a little culture. So she said she was coming down to Madison and performing with like serious classical pieces.
Right.
And so I went and saw her. And
not that honky-tonk music isn't serious.
I'm telling you, it was really wonderful. She dresses up nice, and she puts on her classical clothes, and she plays really good.
We here in Wausau, we have a chance to see her perform pretty frequently at the Wausau Conservatory and other places.
She's fabulous.
And she is indeed a local treasure.
Yes, she is.
And Sarah, you were saying you wouldn't be able to put this performance on without her?
Absolutely not. And working on a production or a performance of a show for the first time, of course, requires some exploration. And she's been excellent in incorporating new material and bringing the band in and working with the singers. So,
what are the challenges staging a musical performance like this, where you have all of these elements that you have to worry about?
Well, one of the things that's, there are many challenges to it. In some ways, musicals, dare I say, are a little bit easier because a lot of the emotion is carried by the songs. But tying them all together, and certainly having the dramatic and theatrical line to make the story hold true. But, you know, making a smooth transition, a seamless transition from certain kinds of songs and certain kinds of scenes into others. In this show, there's a very rich variety. We have songs like Cowboy, and we have a, what is called a line dancing song, Going to Sturgis, and there's a lot of variety. It's been very, very fascinating and rewarding.
Curtis, do you enjoy singing more? Do you enjoy acting more? Or do you enjoy doing the stuff that you've done in the past behind the scenes more, with working with lighting and the technical aspects of the production? Or do you like them all?
That's a tough one. In the case of this show, I have to definitely say singing. I mean, I've never acted before. This is my first shot at it or whatever.
But you're a singer?
Well, I mean, here and there.
Do you write your own music?
Sounds
to me like
you
do. Okay.
Well, you should tell them a little bit about your charity concerts.
My real experience in performance has been kind of through the MC here. Last summer, we put on a charity concert for the Neighbor's Place. I got 20 people together. It was a 20-member group, and strings and horns and all sorts of stuff. And so we've put on a couple of those, and that's where my singing has ever occurred, other than church groups.
So you actually got an entire band together, a one-time-only performance for...
That's
a tall order.
It is. It was a lot of work. And then we put on another one this past January. So and the group just keeps growing. Like, more people kind of get attached. And
he's being very humble. He's being too humble to say that he's also designed it's a light show as well as a musical performance. And so he, along with his father, got to test some of our new capabilities and show it off quite well.
A tremendously talented cast, Sarah. You've been blessed throughout the years.
I certainly have been blessed with this.
Steve, what's it like writing something like this with two other writers? Obviously, they're bringing something to the table, but you've got to lose a lot of control, a lot that you would have if it was just you.
Well, it's a funny thing. My experience doing commercials for radio and TV, there's always somebody telling you what to do. And so long ago, I lost the feeling, no, this is my song. It's got to be done exactly the way I want it done, and so on. So you realize that, yeah, you can do that, but you're going to be playing in your closet, you know, for the for nobody. Or you can do it professionally, as I did for years, and where you've got other people saying, okay, this is what we want this song to do. The Music for Fame was an example of where we'd see the script, and then they'd say, well, now we want this. We're putting on the Othello, and we want this particular song to be a love song, and so on. And so my co-writer then, Barry Fosman in California, he and I would get together and write the thing. And so I love collaboration because I do some writing by myself, but I'm finding the longer I do it, I love to get together with other people because they bring something else to the party that I wouldn't have thought of.
And if you're in the entertainment business, and I think we're all in that business, I'm a journalist, but there's a big part of the business of journalism that's entertainment. You soon find that if you don't play well with others and learn how to collaborate with others, you're not going to survive.
You've got to play nice.
What's next for Steve Sperry? You working on another project right now?
I actually do have a children's project that I'm very excited about. We're doing a book, and it's called Music Critters. As you can see, there's a musical theme with everything that I do. And there are little characters that are part musical instrument and part animal. For example, Elephone is an elephant and her trunk is a saxophone. This is like a preschool kind of thing. And I have the great pleasure to be working with a couple of former Disney and Hanna-Barbera guys from California. So it's absolutely wonderful. So that's my next project.
Wonderful. Sarah, you excited about the debut of this play tomorrow?
Absolutely. And as anyone who does theater, particularly a pretty grassroots theater, will tell you, getting to opening night is a Herculean struggle for various reasons. But with this one, I'll never tire of it. It's great fun. I love listening to those songs. I love the energy of the cast. I love it. It's great fun. And, yes, I think anyone who misses this will regret it because I think it's going to be a blast.
Well, good luck tomorrow and break a leg, as they say. Although it is Friday the 13th,
thank you.
Right?
It is indeed.
Maybe you should be careful what you wish for. We want to thank today's guest, Milwaukee Vibrator author Steve Sperry, UW Marathon County Theater Director Sarah Rudolph, and Curtis Aderholt, who is a cast member. A big thanks to Ann Applegate, the entire cast of Milwaukee Vibrator. A special thanks to Theater Manager Chris Berg for making the live performance segments possible. A reminder, the world debut performance of Milwaukee Vibrator takes place tomorrow, Friday, 7:30 at the Center for Civic Engagement Theater on the UW Marathon County campus in Wausau. Tickets available at the door or by calling 715-261-6226. I'm Glenn Mobrig of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producers, Crystal Bennis and Jane Ritger. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. And thanks for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin. And until next week, we're getting on our Harleys and heading out of town.